Well, we will finish 1 Corinthians 16 next Sunday, so turn to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16 now, and then, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we will start 2 Corinthians, and we'll see how far along we can get in that book before I go with the birds to Florida. All right? Good. Our topic for tonight is based upon chapter 16, verses 5 to 9, and I've simply entitled it Some Principles Concerning Time and Plans. How many of you have made plans? We all make plans. How many of you have a day planner? Some type of, for me, I have to write it down. Okay. Well, there are all kinds of plans, aren't there? Well, Paul's going to tell us, first of all, it is acceptable to make plans. Now, some people don't feel like making plans. You know, que sera, sera. They believe in kismet, fate. What's the point? God has decreed it, and I can't do anything about it. And so, really, they're very passive. But it's not wrong to make plans. In fact, the Apostle Paul did. And take a look with me. I'm going to read for these verses in verse 5. Paul says, Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. But I don't wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while for you, with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. He's talking about travel plans. How many of you, when you make travel plans, consult, let's say, AAA? Anybody go with AAA? Do you get a map with directions and all that type of thing? How many of you now use the system that's on your car where you punch in where you want to go? Okay, that's pretty nice. How many of you listen to your wife? Don't turn. How many of you listen to your husband? No hands went up on that. But we all make plans, don't we? Nothing wrong to make plans. This coming year, we are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving with our son's family out in Jackson, Missouri, which is near Cape Girardeau, just south of St. Louis. And that is where our granddaughter, Allison, and her husband, Brian, live. And so Gary and his wife will be coming in from Kansas City. Gloria and I will be driving in from Ohio. And then our Gavin and his wife, Sandy, and our two great-grandchildren who live in Chattanooga will be traveling there. And then we think also that Julie, Gary's first child, who lives in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, will be able to come on out, and so we will be together. It's been a while for us to be together, so we're going to drive out there, and then from Jackson, Missouri, head on down to Florida. So we're making travel plans. And on those plans, between Missouri and Florida, we're going to have at least one stop. And so I'm going to have to get a motel. And so I will make reservations in advance. I like to make reservations in advance. That way I'm sure I'm there, because you can always cancel long, right? So I will do that. So how many of you have had to make educational plans? I went to Art taught at Baptist Bible College and Seminary. I went to Baptist Bible Seminary and was located in Johnson City, New York. They had three plans there. a three-year Bible Institute program and got a certificate. They had a four-year Bachelor of Religious Education, and then they had a Bachelor of Theology, THB, a five-year program, 2 years of liberal arts and 3 years of Bible. So I had to choose one of those three. I chose to go with the five because I believe that the Lord wanted me to have that education to go into ministry. Gloria and I got married between my third year and my fourth year. But as we approached the end, was I going to go out into ministry or was I going to get further education? Somehow God impressed upon my heart the challenge of going on to seminary, and I went on to Dallas Seminary for four more years. It's a long time. And during that time, our son was born, and then from Dallas, I came to Cedarville. I'll talk more about that later. So we made these educational plans. And it wasn't always easy, that's for sure, to work your way through school, especially after Gloria became pregnant and our boy was born and I had two more years to go and then I got laid off. And boy, we didn't know what we were going to be doing. And we had to trust the Lord for sure. And also, how many of you have made financial plans? Maybe you made your financial plans before you retired. Everybody says, you know, if you really want to have a secure retirement, you need to have a three-legged stool. You know what that three-legged, what are the three legs? Social Security is usually one. Some company retirement system, and your own personal savings retirement plan, right. If you have all three, normally you're in pretty good shape. A lot of people, what do they want to do? Trust just Social Security. Pretty hard to sit on a stool with just one leg, right? And some people in the past have just factory retirement, and if factory goes out of business, and whoops, they're in bad shape. Now, notice what Paul said. I'm going to start you off in verse 2, where he says, he wrote this letter and he says, I want you to take this collection. Remember we talked about that last week. He said, so that there be no collections when I come. So he's over in Ephesus. He's across the Aegean Sea. And he says, I am going to come and I'm going to get this collection. And when I come, he mentions that, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. So he's making plans. The money will be in the hands of these entrusted Christians. They will take the money to the poor Jewish saints in Jerusalem. If it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. And I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia. So his plan was to leave Ephesus, to go north up to probably Troas, and then from Troas to go on over into northern Greece, Macedonia, where you had the city of Philippi. And then he would go probably visit Thessalonica and Berea and then come down to the south to Corinth. And he said, now I will come to you and when I pass through Macedonia, for I'm passing through Macedonia, and may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. So it was all right to make plans. Second point, though, our plans must always be submissive to the will of God. Our plans must also be submissive or surrendered to the will of God. Now, this morning, Gloria and I were listening to Dr. Charles Stanley, First Baptist Church in Atlanta, his radio program on In Touch. And his topic this morning fit right in with what we're talking about tonight, the will of God in your life. And his whole point was, every day you should ask God to be in his will. And he was telling his people there, and I, for the most part, they were senior citizens, they had some younger ones, you ought to teach your children and your grandchildren That as they make plans, they must surrender those plans to the will of God. And notice what Paul says here. He says, I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be, notice the words, it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you. I mean, it's not a 100% guarantee, but it may be that I will remain and that you will send me on my journey whenever I go, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay with you if the Lord permits. If the Lord permits. Look at verse 4. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me, if the Lord permits. Let me take you over to the book of James in chapter 4. James chapter 4. Remember, as you are doing that, remember in Proverbs 27:1, you might have memorized this. Do not boast about tomorrow. Why? Yeah, there's enough trouble for tomorrow. You do not know what a day brings forth, right? Right. And so really, James, as directed by the Spirit of God, is taking the sense of that verse. And look at James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, where he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. We will spend a year there. We will do business there. We'll buy and sell, and we'll make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Indeed, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. In business, a Christian businessman every day ought to say, start the day off with prayer and say, God, help me to make decisions within your will. Help me to bring glory to you. Help me to do the right thing, to say the right thing. There will be challenges, interruptions. And sometimes, you know, you make plans. And what do you come down there? And it says, D-E-T-O-U-R. I hate that, don't you? And you know what? Just up ahead, they're fixing a brand new bridge. And you've got to go 10 miles down this way, 7 miles up that way, 10 miles back this way, just to go to a couple hundred yards. Don't you get frustrated? There are no McDonald's usually on the detour. No roadside rest. And so you have these delays. And how many of you have planned to be somewhere at a certain time and all at once you stopped? And say, why? Notice what he says. Indeed, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and such boasting is evil. That is to make plans without consulting God, without acknowledging God, and asking for his will. That's actually arrogance and sin. You don't control tomorrow. You can make plans, but you don't control how things are going to happen. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And I think he's talking here about making plans without submitting to the will of God. Him who knows to do good. That's so true for dealing with college students. I have to say this, but I want to say it in the best sense that I can. This afternoon, I got a text from our daughter, Gail, who lives in St. Petersburg, Florida. Her husband is David Lawhead. David is a graduate of Cedarville as well, and he's down there. He has a sister, Patty, who has lived in the greater Dayton area all her life. She taught for well over 40 years. And I talked with Patty about, you know, her plans. Unfortunately, she and her husband divorced. She has two boys scattered, married, and so on. But financially, she had, after 40 years in the school system, state teachers' retirement system, excellent retirement coming. And she did a little part-time jobs on the side just to be doing something. But she was all set. She started coming down with some health problems. Cancer in and out. A little dementia coming there in and out. And we heard just a couple of days ago they put her into hospice and she died today. She seemed to be at one time very, when she retired, strong, active, that type of thing. And gone that quickly. That story can be repeated so many times, can it? You know, Paul, this is how it worked out. I want you to come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That was Paul's plan A, what he just said right there in 1 Corinthians 16. Come on over, and you're going to see that there was a plan B. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul says, "In this confidence, I intended to come to you before that you might have a second benefit." That is, Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 said, I want to come over to see you. He said, verse 16 then, "to pass by way of you to Macedonia and then to come again from Macedonia to you, and then to be helped by you on my way to Judea." That is, Paul had a second plan, and that was to go from Ephesus over to Corinth, go up to Macedonia through the Greek peninsula, and then come back from Macedonia down the Greek peninsula to Corinth. So the idea is he would go to Corinth two more times. So the point is it one time or two times? Now look what he says in verse 17. "Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly?" Was Paul making plans outside of the will of God? Why wasn't he sure? "Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh?" He's being criticized for that. "Paul, you said you're going to do one thing. You ended up doing something else. How can we trust you on other things?" Have you ever had that accusation thrown at you? Wow. So the whole point is you've got to be sensitive to what's happening, don't you? Take a look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 23. It says, "Moreover, I call God as a witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth." That is, instead of going to Corinth, Paul is going to send Titus to Corinth in his place. Because there was a problem in Corinth. We've gone through 1 Corinthians last summer, this summer. You realize there were problems. There was carnality there. A man living, a believer, living with maybe his stepmother. Discipline. Fornication going on. All kinds of problems going on in the church. How are you going to solve them? Well, Paul sent this letter, but he thought maybe I would then go over personally and deal with it. Instead, he sends Titus. Why? Is it because he was fickle? Was it because he was so unsure? No. It's because of the changing circumstances. And we'll find out as we go through 2 Corinthians that God used Titus and the letter that Paul sent to them to bring about a revival in the church so that when Paul arrived, things were in a lot better shape. Let me take you through something else. Come on over here. Third point, common sense must be used. That's the way I put it anyway. Look at 16:6. It says, "And it may be that I will remain when I come, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey whenever I go, wherever I go." Huh. Well, you did not travel the Mediterranean in the wintertime. From my study anyway, November through February, ships very, very seldom moved in the Mediterranean, the sailing ships back in that day. Even today, that's the rainy season in Israel. I know a lot of people will go to Israel as tourists, November, December, January, and sometimes February. But you're going to expect to get a lot of rain. You talk about early rains and latter rains. There are times when it rains there. There are times when it doesn't rain. So what does it say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, folks? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to what? Your own understanding. Does your own understanding involve your own common sense? Yeah. Lean not to your own understanding. What? In all thy ways acknowledge him, he will direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So easy to trust our understanding and even trust our common sense, but sometimes you need to realize. Now, how many of you have ever made a car trip when you should not have made a car trip? Why? Wrong timing. How about the weather conditions?
Driving in fog.
How many of you driven fog? How many of you kept the same speed driving in fog? How many of you try to find a truck with lights and follow behind them in the fog? Yeah. How about driving on snow and ice? I've had a lot of driving rain, yes. How many of you have enough common sense to pull off an exit and stay in before the monsoon stops? We just don't do that, do we? We got to get there. It'll end. This cloud can't be that big. You know, there's a starting point and an end point. And we start doing those things, right? Next point, we have to go through open doors. Paul says, "I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door is open to me." Many times you have to make a decision which door to go through. You know, God is the one who says, "I open doors and no one can open. No one can shut. I close doors and no one can open." A lot of times we fret about the closed doors, our responsibility. Go through the open doors. Go through the open doors. And then look at this. Opposition can be expected when you make plans. "For a great and effective door has opened to me, but there are many adversaries." Paul stayed in Ephesus for 3 years. Great work went on there. We are told in the book of Acts that all that were in Asia that heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks, probably the churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 and 3, they probably were established during the time of Paul's stay in Ephesus. But when you are doing the will of God, you make plans and you are in the will of God, wanting to do the will of God for his honor and glory, there will be opposition. Now, I wanted to bring you back. I'm going to give you a little personal story on my life, okay? Relax a little bit here. I mentioned that we were in Dallas Seminary. We're way back now. I was there in 56 to 60, 1960. Gary came in 1958. And so in the summer of 1959, we took little Gary, who was about a year, maybe about a year and four or five months. And Gloria and I took little Gary and drove to the West Coast up to Cedro Woolley, Washington, where my wife was raised by her grandparents. I think I mentioned this to you. Gloria's mother died when Gloria was only 12 of tuberculosis. And she really did not know her father because shortly after the birth, the father left. And so she knew stepfather and so on. But basically, she was raised by her grandma and her grandpa. So we went up there. Now, at that time, in El Cerrito, California, there was a Baptist college. I'm trying to remember, what was it known as? Was it Western Baptist Bible College? And I've forgotten the name of the president. Do you know it? Okay, I can't remember his name. But anyway, I got an interview because I knew I was going to graduate in 1960, the following year. And so I thought, well, we'll go up to Washington and then we'll drive down to California and I'll get an interview and use that on our way back to Dallas. And so I had an interview with the president there, talked to him. Talked about my availability, my interest in teaching Bible in a Baptist college, and so on. Had a nice interview. Then went back to Dallas. Well, during that school year, especially getting very, very close to graduation, which was usually the first Saturday in May, I got a contact. I also made a contact by writing a letter to the president of Baptist Bible Seminary in Johnson City, New York, who was Dr. Paul Jackson. And a friend of mine had gone there the year before to teach, Dr. Bob Leitner, Robert Leitner. And so I wrote and told him that I was available and if there's any opening to be considered. Well, unknown to me, they did not have an opening, and so he contacted Dr. James T. Jeremiah, who was at Cedarville. Well, I didn't know too much about Cedarville, because in 1953, Baptist Bible Institute in Cleveland moved from Cleveland down to Cedarville, and that's at the same time I was in Johnson City, New York. So Dr. Jeremiah contacted me and said, would I be have any interest in interviewing? And I said, well, yes, I would. And so we set up a time to be interviewed. And I would come up. Actually went up by train. Can you imagine that? I think 24 hours on the train from Dallas to Dayton. But meanwhile, in the spring, I get a call from Dr. John Patton, who was the president of Omaha Baptist Bible Institute. It later became Faith Baptist Bible College and Faith Theological Seminary out there in Ankeny, Iowa. But Dr. Patton came down, he wanted to see me. He heard about my availability, I don't know how. So he comes down and I met him and we entertained him, Gloria and I entertained him. And he wanted me to sign on the dotted line right then and there that I would come to the school. And I said, well, no, I've already made this interview. I feel bound to talk to Dr. Jeremiah. And he said, well, do you know anybody else? And I said, yes, I do. So I introduced him to my good friend, and my good friend signed on the line. So Dr. Patton came down. He wanted to do it just like that. And so finally then I went on my interview. I came up here, And I was met by Dr. and Mrs. Maddox. Many of you know them. We stopped at Parkmore and had chicken on the way to their place. And I stayed in their home over in Cedarville and had my interview with Dr. Williams and Dr. Jeremiah and so on. Well, then I went back to Dallas on the train. And then shortly after that, I got a telephone call from Dr. Jeremiah saying that they would like me to come. And so then we had to make plans, of course, to come from Dallas all the way up. We did not have very many things. I did not have a big moving van at all, let me tell you. We had small items. But anyway, that's how God worked. And lo and behold, the Lord put me there, and I was there for 50 years. And my friend who went to Omaha and went over to Ankeny, Iowa, stayed there for 50 years. Isn't that something? We make plans, but God is the one who sees to it, right? Amen? Amen. And God is good. We need to make plans, but remember this, if the Lord wills, if the Lord permits. I must make those plans on my knees, saying, God, what do you want me to do? When should I do it? How should I do it? Help me to do it well for you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the joy of a blessing in your will. We know that within the time period that we are doing your will, as Paul said, there will be opposition. And opposition can come in different ways. Trials and tests can come in different ways. From the unsaved. I can remember even when I was called into the ministry, how my father opposed that. And many of my friends opposed that. But God, you overruled. Thank you. Thank you. We pray that we might always do your will, no matter what happens. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a safe trip home. Take care.